to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hello, lovely TDB community. We're so happy to have you here. I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Today's guest is Amy Perkins. I first became aware of Amy on LinkedIn. Day after day, I would watch her videos and thought, who is this woman? She exuded such positive vibes and incredible energy. She talked about things like clarity, confidence, purpose, and courage. And I just thought, yes, please, more of this. So I reached out to her. We had a virtual coffee meeting on Zoom, found that a lot of our interests were truly aligned, and we've kept in touch ever since. So I wanted to have Amy on our show because if ever there was a person who followed their divine breadcrumbs, it's Amy. Amy is the founder of Keys to Courage, a platform where she helps people live their dream life through her blogs, workshops, and her amazing community. Amy is a sought-after speaker and all-around champion of women everywhere. She has an amazing and inspiring story to share. So without further ado, let's get to it. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you. That was the nicest intro I've ever had.
Oh, I'm glad.
Welcome, Amy. It's so nice to finally meet you. As I mentioned in my email, Carol speaks very highly of you. I've been looking forward to this. So let's just jump right in. Before we sort of get started on what you're doing now, let's give it a little context. Can you give us sort of an overview of your background and maybe a little bit about, you know, growing up and what life was like before?
Absolutely. So, you know, I had a great life. I had parents that loved me, and I don't have, you know, a really bad traumatic backstory. But what happened, you know, I graduated from college and I knew I wanted to become a teacher. And I started teaching elementary school at 21. And I was I lived this life. I felt every day like I had won the lottery because I was so happy. And it was literally purpose driven. I mean, you'll never meet a person in education that's like, I went in it for the money and the fame. But to be able to go to a job every Monday that filled my heart and soul, what I really felt so lucky. You know, I had friends making 2, 3, 4 times as much as me, but they weren't happy. And, you know, I always found a way to make it work. I've never been in debt. I was able to buy a house when I was 25 by myself as a single woman. I started a tutoring business after school. Wow. I had a convertible BMW when I was in my 20s that I paid cash for. I just always made it work. And I think when you follow your soul's purpose in your career, it will work. And So it did. I just lived this amazing life. And, you know, then I became a consultant. So the last 17 years, I was a consultant in education. I trained entire school districts. I trained new teachers. I was a coach for new teachers, and I actually trained coaches. Hmm. That was also a real soul-filling job until it wasn't. And what happened, my dearest friend from college, gosh, I think it's been 2.5 years now, she passed away. She had ovarian cancer, and it was one of those situations where she was such a beautiful soul, and it was one of those, why does this have to happen to somebody so good? you know, with all the bad out in the world and all the bad people. And it really threw me. She was not only this beautiful, loving soul and one of my best friends, she was a single mom and she had a 2-year-old little boy. Ugh. So it just made it that much more unfair. But when she died, I mean, I made a promise to her that I was going to live my life. I was going to live an amazing life for her because she didn't have a life to live anymore. And I was going to do whatever I took to bust out of the rut that I was in, because at this time, I really was kind of in a rut. I was going through the motions. You know, my job was okay. Right. My family was okay, but I was waking up and going through the motions of life, and I was not going to do that anymore. So I got to work, and it was a lot of work. Day after day, I started learning, reading, listening to podcasts, watching videos on YouTube, how to live an amazing life. And I took steps, and like Deb says, like, my story is a divine breadcrumb trail, because it started with the death of my friend Tracy, and where I am now, a little over 2 years later, it's really hard. It's hard to even for me to believe some days.
Yeah, that is so intense. And just the emotion from you, it makes me emotional, because obviously, you know, Deb and I have been best friends for over 20 years, and I can't even imagine. And what I can relate to is when a loved one passes, especially, you know, in your case where your friend was so young, in my case where my dad, it was just kind of unexpected. It really, you know, I know it's so cliche, but it definitely puts things in perspective and makes you start looking at what's really important.
Absolutely.
So, I think in that sense, your friend's name was Tracy, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I think in that sense, Tracy gave you this gift.
She did.
You're absolutely sharing this with the world. And it's just amazing. I know you've touched so many people with this story. So you actually got into one of the moments, one of the massive pivotal moments I wanted to ask you about, which of course was your friend Tracy. You also had another really pivotal moment to do with your career in education and kind of what happened with that. Would you tell our listeners that story?
Sure. So again, when Tracy passed away, I started down this journey of building courage and confidence again. You know, I'd had it in my 20s, and then, you know, as women and moms, and we become moms, and it kind of, for whatever reason, like, life kind of chipped away at me, and I didn't really have confidence and courage like I did in my 20s. I'm 46 now. And so what I started to do things that scared me intentionally, because I had lived a lot of my life avoiding failure and doing things that were safe. And I started to realize through reading and learning that the magic happens when you get uncomfortable. And while nobody wants to get uncomfortable, it truly is that space of growth. And so day after day, I started doing scary things. And simultaneously in my career as a new teacher coach, and this is another divine breadcrumb, I was coaching 6 teachers. One of those teachers had been one of my kindergarten students 20 years ago.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And her mom had reached out to me and knew what I was doing and said, "Is there any way that you could be her coach?" Because in California, where I live, every new teacher, their first 2 years has to go through an induction program with a coach. And her daughter was a new teacher. And I said, "If there's any way I can make this happen, I will make this happen." And so I was her coach. And she, in the job that I had, you work it really closely with the new teacher and their administrator. And the administrator for her was her vice principal. And from day one, I got a really weird vibe from this man. And in my career for 25 years, I had nothing but a stellar reputation and I had stellar relationships. I'm really good at relationship building. That's why, you know, Tracy and I had been friends since college and stayed in touch. That's why I have friends from my childhood that are my best friends. I'm really good at it. I don't know. It's just like an innate thing that I have. And so it carried over into my work too. And for whatever reason, this man, he didn't like me and he didn't like my new teacher. And in California, you can get let go for any reason your first 2 years. They don't even need to give you a reason.
Wow.
And what he would do is he would corner her and say things to her when nobody was around, like, you're a rookie, you need to act like one. He would tell her that she was too confident. He would tell her that she didn't smile enough. He would tell her that she talked too loud. And you know, like, this was in the year 2018, and I just kept thinking, in the year 2018, like, how is this happening?
Right.
You know, and my husband, he works in the corporate world for a Fortune 250, and I would come home and tell him things that were going on, and he's like, if this happened at my work, like, this is a hostile work environment. Like, you can't do this stuff. But we were kind of in a rock and a hard place because I told her I would go talk to him, but she knew that he would retaliate, and he literally could let her go for any reason. He didn't even have to give a reason. So I reached out to my supervisor, who was a female. And I kind of let her know what was going on. Her advice to me was to have her find another job.
Oh my God.
And that, I mean, like you, your reaction, that was me. Like it hit me in my core. Like, what on earth? And then what happened was I went in for an observation as per my job description. And he was going to be doing an observation the same day, which is completely normal. A lot of times I would have principals grab me when I was on campus and say, hey, Amy, let's observe on the same day so that we can kill two birds with one stone. And it was just normal. It was a normal thing. Well, I'm in her room. This man walks in. He looks at me. He walks up to her. He whispers something in her ear and he walks out of the room. And something in me, like I knew something was wrong. So when she had a break in her lesson, I went up to her and I'm like, what did he say? And she said, he said, if you were in the room, he was not going to observe me and I need to reschedule. And it was one of those moments. Yes. Like you, I was like, oh, what is this? What is happening? And so she rescheduled with him and her observation, she got like the lowest scores possible. And her first observation with him in the beginning of the year was top scores. She was a phenomenal teacher. She was the teacher that you wanted for your kids. Again, for whatever reason, he didn't like her. He was out to get her. And here's the thing though, he didn't need to lie on her observation and he lied. So one of the examples is he wrote her down in like, I think it was a 0 or a 1 was the worst score for like a safe learning environment. He said she didn't have a safe learning environment. And the thing that for me at the time that was just, it was so maddening was she not only had a safe learning environment, like it was a thriving, loving environment. She taught middle school and she had a box in the back of the room that was like a caring box. And when kids caught someone doing something caring, they wrote it down on a slip and they would put it in the box. Oh, and then my teacher would do shout outs. Like, I mean, she started an after-school program because it was a Title I school, which means 50% of the kids or more were on reduced lunch. Hmm. It was a lower-income area. And she started a club after school where she did girls' hair for sporting events if they needed it, like if they needed French braids or if they needed their hair done for dances. Like, this was the caring teacher. Yeah. So it was almost a year ago, and I wasn't as confident as I was today, but I was at a point where I knew like, this is unfair. Like what is going on? And none of my peers thought anything of it. It was like, oh, well, yeah, this happens. But inside of me, I was like, no, this doesn't just happen. And I think I looked at her like she could be my daughter.
Right. You
know, like this could be my daughter. And what if nobody was standing up for her?
Yeah.
So I reached out to my supervisor's supervisor and I said, and this is a woman that I had one time had admired. I had gone out to wine with her. I don't know that we were friends, but again, I had admired her on a work level. And I said, hey, you know, I already reached out to our other supervisor. Now, here's the story. Like, here's the backstory. Here's where we are. I need to meet with this man. I need to meet with him, but I don't want to meet with him alone. I don't feel comfortable with him. He walked out of a room I was in. He tells her these things when nobody's around. I would love either you to come with me or another coach to come with me, one of my peers, but I need backup. Like, I need another set of eyes and ears because I don't trust him. And my supervisor, this woman who marches in women's marches and talks the talk, she told me no. Ugh. And I wanted to cry. I wanted to throw up. I didn't know what to do. But I said, okay, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to meet with him alone. This is part of my job description, meeting with the supervisor. And she said, you can send him an email. So even though I didn't admire this man, I compiled a very professional email. And I said, you know, dear so-and-so, as her coach, my job is to get her reaching these standards that are set, these standards that you're saying she's not achieving. What can I do to help her get there? Please give me feedback that I can use that you're seeing so that when I'm in there, I can help her get where you want her to be. So the next morning, my new teacher called me sobbing. He had let her go.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Something in me like broke.
Yeah.
And I was like, this career that I loved, I cannot make a difference anymore. And I had an undergrad degree, I had a teaching credential, and I had a master's degree in education. And I didn't know how I was going to do another career, but I knew that I needed to quit.
Oh my gosh. And I can't even imagine like the thoughts in your head, you know, the night before you're going to quit, like everything you've worked towards and how you've tried to always do the right thing. I can't even imagine what that was like.
Yeah. And so my husband, I'm really lucky. And, you know, I know not everybody can quit that's in a bad situation like me. You know, we lived our lives a certain way to where my husband's income was the main income and my income was extra. Right. And, but that was, you know, those were choices that we made. We didn't buy the biggest house we could buy. Our cars are paid off and they're older. So we did make those choices and I knew I was going to have to eventually, and I wanted to, you know, find another job, but, he supported me and said, you know, we will make this work. We'll cut back where we need to cut back. And yeah, like he saw the torment I went through that year with the situation. So, you know, at my last meeting, I didn't quit in the middle of my job. I had a few more meetings left to do. I worked with all the teachers. I got them through the end of the year. But at my last coaches meeting, I walked up and quit. And I had explained, you know, another thing that just was not impressive to me. These leaders I had did not have integrity. I had followed up with an email and let them know what had happened. And my own supervisor never emailed me back. That principal never emailed me back. And so when I quit, when I said, you know, I'm not coming back next year, basically, I, you know, 17 years, I'm like, I'm not coming back. And she looked at me and was like, oh, this is surprising. And I mean, I just didn't even go there. You know, I walked out of that room with my head held high.
Yeah.
And I knew that I would figure it out because I stood up for something. And not only did I quit, like there was something else. And this is like a divine moment. Like it kept coming to me. You know, I had started making videos. I had made a video. I had done a fundraiser for my friend Tracy that passed away. I had done a fundraiser for her little boy. Mm-hmm. And I made a video to share on Facebook for her friends and my friends to kind of spread the word on that fundraiser. And I broke records for that type of fundraiser that I did. And so I had done a few videos at this point, and I thought, like, I need to make a video about this. Yeah. And I'm not out to slam these people or name them or name the schools, but I need to share my story because I know there are other women that need to know, like, you need to use your voice because nobody around me was using their voice. Nobody even said to me, hey, this is wrong. Nobody even none of my peers. And I just kept thinking, like, shame on all of you. Like, why is nobody saying that this is wrong? And so I did. I made a video. I had my 15-year-old daughter video me. I wanted her to know. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom stands for something. And if something is not going right, like if your gut tells you it's wrong, it probably is. And you need to speak up. And so shaking, I almost threw up. But my daughter videoed me. And I put this video on Facebook. And I put it public. And it spread. Like, I think I have over 4,000 views, and I have like 50 shares, and I had women from all over the world sending me messages, teachers. I ended up going to coffee with women that were local that were like in tears saying, I have an administrator that screams at me and berates me and sends me home in tears. And this isn't isolated. And I know it's not just an education. Right. And not all administrators are bad, and not all teachers are good.
Right.
But the fact is, like, there are more situations out there. And I just, you know, I used my voice. I literally, like, sacrificed my career. I'm like a pariah now. I had women all over saying, I walked by my principal's office, like districts all over, and all I could hear was your voice coming on the computer. So I know that people heard what I had to say. And hopefully, maybe there's one administrator that thinks twice before doing something like this, because you never know that when somebody's going to find their courage, and they might make a video about you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I mean, it's so inspiring, and you're right. Sometimes you get to a point, and it is, it's like something snaps where you suddenly get this rush of courage and this feeling of I'm not going to take this anymore. That was great. And you actually touched on something when you were talking about how your daughter helped you do the video, which I love that you brought her into this. It got me thinking about another video you did. I know you're a fan of Mel Robbins' work, and you have such a fantastic story about how you did something really out of your comfort zone in order Yes. to work with her. I would love for you to share that story with our audience.
Yeah. So, you know, one of these books that I found on my journey for anybody out there that's really holding themselves back because of fear, I found Mel Robbins' book, The 5-Second Rule. And basically this rule is, there's science behind it. And when you have the urge to act on an impulse, you know, like go up to somebody and ask them something, or make that phone call that's scary, or do whatever that thing is that's scary in your job, in your life, in your daily life. If you don't do that within 5 seconds, your brain stops you from doing it. And so I read this book, and I use that 5-second rule like all day long, every day, until doing scary things became like second nature to me. And this book like impacted my life so much. I ended up taking an online course. There were 2,000 people in the course that Mel Robbins ran. It was called The Power of You. And I just thought, like, I need to work for this woman. Like, I need to be on her team, even though she lived in Boston. It was one of these things like inside of me, I'm like, I need to work for her team, because I wanted to help spread this message out to more people. I knew there were people like me that were, you know, confident, successful people, but kind of got lost along the way. Like I did, like I lost that confidence. And I think a lot of it was from being in this career that sucked my soul dry, that I didn't even realize, because I did, you know, this wasn't the only experience that I had that I thought was like unjust, something unjust going on. There were other things, but because nobody else thought it was weird, I just was like, okay, this is how it is. But no, it's not how it is. And I found that courage. And so I decided I was going to make a video. I knew at this point, like, the scary things are where the growth happens. So instead of emailing the team for a job, this job didn't even exist. I just thought they need me on their team. So instead of emailing them, I'm like, okay, what's scarier? Okay, I could make a video, but I've been doing videos, so that's not that scary. So what's scarier? And I thought, okay, I could do a live video. Like, I'd never done a Facebook Live, and that kind of terrified me. So that was like, okay, that's good. I can do a Facebook Live in this group of 2,000 people. But then I'm like, okay, scarier than that, I will have my husband and my daughter and my son video me. I won't tell them what I'm doing, and I'm going to make this ask, like, in this group live. Because I want my kids to see, like, courage in action. Nice. And that night was actually, my son had a little dance rehearsal at school and he was really nervous about it. So I was like, okay, honey, like mommy's going to do something really scary. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but just hit live, like hit go. And they were looking at me like I was nuts. So I did. I did a Facebook Live. I asked Mel Robbins for a job. And I had all these people, hundreds of people were commenting like, oh my God, like, I can't believe you're doing this right now. And I mean, I couldn't believe I was doing it either. But, and yeah, it was one of those puke moments. But again, like I had lost my friend. I know like life is precious and fleeting and I am not living with any regrets. Like I am living my life fearlessly now. And I think everybody needs to live their life fearlessly, you know, not fearless, like reckless, that's endangering your life. But if something is scary and you just are like, oh, I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. You can. And that is where the magic happens. And so I did this video and I think the next day I got an email from the team and it was a nice email. It was like, basically like, thanks, but no thanks. But that was really brave of you, you know, type thing. And then the next day, Mel Robbins like popped in and I don't have it in front of me. But up till this time, you know, she had a team of 10 in this group. You know, she was doing mega public speaking. She was the most booked female speaker in the world last year. And she wrote a paragraph to me. And it basically, I kind of have it memorized. It said, Amy, you know, this wasn't a no. Because I think I came back and edited my post and I said, okay, guys, like I didn't get the job, but I still don't regret it. Like it was a really great experience. So she came back and she said, it's not a no. This is a sign that, you know, you're not supposed to work for me. You're not supposed to work for my team. You're supposed to build your own team and you have a lot of power and you have your own message to share and you need to look in the mirror and you need to choose yourself.
Wow.
So I printed that out. I wrote it out. I've got it on my mirror. I read it every day. And I mean, it's kind of what's happened.
I love that story and just the power of writing something down and reading it every day. And I know that's, you know, a teaching from Napoleon Hill and many others, but it is so powerful.
Yeah. I printed it out, what she wrote to me. And I'm like, all right, Mel Robbins, you know, she gave me a no, but this is what she said. She said, I've got my own power and I need to create my own thing.
Is that where Keys to Courage came from? Can you talk
a little bit about that? Well, okay, so yeah, that came from, you know, as I was walking this path, I was still working my job, but I was like, I need something bigger. And I had this idea to start a business. And while I was still doing my consulting job with the school, the county office of ed, and it was a scary thing that I wanted to start. And I knew I needed to look outside to a woman that I admired in business to get some advice. And that woman was my kid's pediatric dentist. I was not friends with her, but we had been going to her for 13 years. I loved the model that she had created. She was doing things differently in pediatric dentistry. And my husband, ironically, is in the dental field. And I said, gosh, you know, I really want to reach out to Dr. Speed, but I don't want to, you know, take her time. And he said, you know, just send her a message on Facebook because we were Facebook friends and ask her if she'll hop on a phone call for 5 minutes. You know, she might not. But again, I've been doing these courageous things. And so I thought, all right, what the heck? The worst that can happen is she can say no. And I think so many times we stop ourselves. I know I did, from making these asks because people would say no. And again, like the worst that can happen is they say no. Like exactly. That's the worst that can happen.
Yep.
And so I did. I sent her a message on Facebook if she would hop on a call. And I did not want to take a lot of her time. I said it would be 5 minutes. And I had a few specific questions, specifically on how do you build a team, like the team that she had. And, you know, her response wasn't just yes. It was yes, let's go to coffee. So we went to coffee. And this coffee date lasted 2 hours. I explained my business I wanted to start, which was not Keys to Courage. It was a different business. And at the end of our coffee date, she had a necklace on and the necklace had the word believe on it. And she said, these are giving keys and they have words on them. And when you're done with your word, you give it to someone who needs it. And my word is believe and I'm giving it to you because I need you to believe in this business and I need you to go for it. And it was one of these moments, like we both ended up crying. And that was my key to courage, that belief key. Like I believed that I could do this business. I did those 5 second moments of courage all through starting that business. I ended up partnering with a Reebok sponsored athlete who trained fitness trainers all over the nation because I believed it was possible because this dentist believed in me. And we did that business for a year and it was successful. It was always profitable, but it got to a point where I knew I needed to pivot. I knew I needed to pivot. And so I'm not doing that anymore, but that whole experience was a huge learning curve and amazing thing. And that's where I got the name Keys to Courage for my business that I have now. From that key.
That's a great story. So since you've started all of this, what would you say have been some of the surprises that have come out of it? Things that you just completely didn't expect.
Like a huge surprise. And here's the thing. The other thing I've let go of having a tight grip on everything in my life. You know, especially I was always a planner. Like I'm going to do this and then this and then this and then this is how it's going to end up. And I've realized like when you let go of control, but you just go forth on your path, things are going to unfold that you can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't set out like, I'm going to be a speaker. I hear a lot of people and they're like, I'm going to be a speaker. I'm going to speak in front of thousands of people. Like that was never a goal of mine. I just wanted to put my message out and make a difference for one person. You know, like that, I just really looked at it like I needed this, like all this stuff that I've learned that I spent hundreds and hundreds of hours learning, like I needed someone to take it all and like funnel it to me and say, lady, like, here's the steps. This is what you do. And so I kind of felt like that's what I'm going to do, but through video. And so I never set out to be a speaker. Have I done speaking in the past? Yes. In my 20s. And then, you know, now I'm a consultant and a coach for that pediatric dentist who is now my best friend. And since she's brought me on board, it's been 3 months since I've been a paid consultant and coach for her business. And she's had her biggest month in production and new patients in her 20 years of practice. So I had this like gift I didn't even know I had. And I got invited to speak at a conference in Napa, March 10th, celebrating International Women's Day. And this conference is called Women in Power. And there are some amazing speakers that are invited. And like women that have been on CNN, women that have been on Fox News, there's a speaker that's invited that I can't even talk about yet because there's a non-disclosure. And they won't let the team know if she can speak until right before the event. But suffice it to say, if this woman speaks, not only is it going to be national news, it's going to be global news. Like blowing my mind, the opportunities that are unfolding because I stood up, I used my voice, and I'm going forward on this path that I know, like I'm following these breadcrumbs, like I just keep going. I keep going.
And that's how it works.
It is.
So I took a look at your website. There's some cool stuff on there.
Thank you.
Can you share with our listeners a little bit about the newsletter that you send out as well as your Design Your Dream Life course?
Absolutely. So again, I started Keys to Courage with zero intention of making money. It wasn't the money first and then have the product. For me, it was the message that I just needed to get out to help people. And I had so many people just one-on-one like reaching out and I thought I got to do this in a bigger way because I can't get on the phone with everybody. I just can't. And I didn't want to be a coach. I don't want to charge hourly and coach. So I started a newsletter that walks everybody through week after week of the resources I used, of the actions that I took. And I tell my story, but I also leave every newsletter with an actionable step that people can take.
Oh, great.
Because everybody has this power inside of them, but you need to take the action. You know, nobody can, you know, there's no magic book and there's no magic key, but there are steps that you can take and implement in your life. And that's basically what my newsletter is. It's like a map. It's a map of my journey and a map of the steps that I took and the steps that you can take. And it's totally free. After I started the newsletter, I had more people reaching out again that wanted the one-on-one coaching. And that just wasn't the direction I wanted to go because I had all these other big things that I needed to work on. And so I created a course, and this course is called Design Your Dream Life. And If any of your listeners would like to check it out, I've got a 50% off code. The code is BELIEVE, awesome. Just like the word that was on my key, BELIEVE, because I really think that is the key to everything. And what I did was I worked with a graphic designer. I created a workbook, and there's a video series, and they go hand in hand. And I believe in this course so much that if you do the course, like, you can't just buy it and say it didn't work for me. But if you do it, if you go through the workbook and you fill it out and you do the video series and you implement these steps like I did, because this course is what I did to get where I am. It was like the first step of what I did. And it basically talks about what I did. I did this in these areas. I did it in my health. I did it in my career. I did this for friendships. I did it for my relationship, and I did it for my family. I had these five areas that I had a dream life that I wanted to design, and I designed it. And I am living that life that 2 years ago, I wrote down what I wanted. And I go through the steps of what I did. And it's nothing magical, but there's steps for people that just might not know where to start. And so I created that course as a way for something extra for people that, you know, enjoyed my newsletter, enjoyed my blog, enjoyed my content, but wanted that something more.
That's great.
That is great. I think that it's important that we share what we learn with other people.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, there's many people out in the space of self-development and self-growth. And I don't think we can have too many people. I think we need to have more people, because different people are going to resonate with different people.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I'm just a normal person. You know, I don't have yachts. I don't have mansions. I'm not flying on private jets. And there's some inspirational people that are speaking and people are drawn to that. I am wealthy, not in monetary value, but I am wealthy in living a life fulfilled. I mean, and it all for me started with gratitude. And I talk about that a lot in my newsletter. Gratitude changed everything for me. When my friend Tracy got sick, I was grateful to have a husband to argue with because she was a single mom of a baby driving herself to chemo in the snow.
Oh, gosh.
I was grateful to be able to sleep pain-free. And literally living that gratitude, it's really hard for me now. I don't blame people, but it's really hard for me to be around people that complain a lot and they don't have anything to complain about. I mean, it's almost like I had a near-death experience myself, even though it wasn't me, it was my friend.
Right.
But when I read about people that have had those experiences and then they come back, it's almost like there was a me before and then there's a me after. And I'm never going to go back to that me before, that complainer, that person that was like a victim, that person just like went through the motions. And I want other people to be able to live this amazing life that I'm living, because it's possible for everybody. And you don't have to have a friend that dies, and you don't have to have a near-death experience, and you don't have to go through any of that trauma. You can just make the choice to do it.
Exactly. Amy, there's so much great stuff here, and you touched on something that is near and dear to my heart as well, and that is supporting other women, and that there's plenty of space for all of us. And, you know, you and I both know there are some not so supportive people on social media, and
yes,
you have become really resilient and courageous about all of that, which is great. And I think you can take that strength and you can impart that to your children. So I was wondering if all of these changes in your life, you know, what effect has this had on the mindset of your kids, or has it at all? I have seen a few videos with your daughter, but if you could just kind of expand, because I think that would be interesting.
Oh God, it's amazing. And it was just a byproduct, right? And you know, I parented so long the wrong way. I parented like trying to force feed my kids what I wanted them to learn. And it wasn't until I made these changes in myself that my kids became those versions of themselves that I wanted them to be. And I know you can't see this, but I just grabbed this artwork that my daughter, I was in Nashville at a work thing in December, and my daughter sent me a screenshot of this. I thought it was art that she found online, honestly. What it was this big chart paper that we had at home that she went in her room and made this artwork out of it. I'm just going to read some of these things. I can't make this up. This is my 15-year-old daughter who 3 years ago, we were in family counseling because I didn't like how she was communicating with me. Mm. I mean, she's a great kid. She is a good kid. Doesn't get into any trouble, but she just wasn't talking. It was like she would get in the car and not tell us about her day. And I'm like, you got to start talking or we're going to go to family counseling. So this kid, this is that kid. This is what this says. It says, this is this art she made. And this is because she's seen me do it. Not because I'm telling her. She's like watching me do this.
Right.
It's numbered. And number one is you attract what you visualize. Number two, we're all born superstars. You just have to find it in yourself. Number three, it says clearly, precisely, frequently visualize. It will become your reality. Visualization works if you work hard. Number five says decide what you will be, who you will be, how you will do it. Number six says, as you think, so shall you become. And I could go on and on. She has nine things. And then the very last thing says, believe. It's the key to everything. And she drew my key and it says courage.
Aww. Oh,
I love that. And isn't it exciting knowing as her mom, like all of this, she has this now where
yes,
to us like relatively late in life, she has it from the get-go.
Yes. It's so exciting. I mean, that's the biggest gift of all. And I'm thrilled. Like I get messages that just literally my eyes like fill with tears every time I get one. I had one this week. This man was writing a book. He really wanted to write a book. And he had his whole family was like, you can't write a book. And people were like, you didn't go to school. You don't have a degree in that. And he started watching my videos in August. And he sent me a message. He's like, I just need to let you know your videos and your messages like gave me that courage to keep going, even though I had all these naysayers and I just finished my book. And it's like, that is so awesome. And I get all of these messages like that. But my kids, like, I mean, that is the thing that if tomorrow was my last day or tomorrow I got that diagnosis, like I have lived like an amazing life in the past 2 years. And maybe I failed my kids, her first 13, but the last two, I've packed in what I needed to pack in.
Ugh. Well, I don't think we could end on a better note than that. Oh my goodness.
I agree.
Thank you so much, Amy, for sharing all your stories. I feel inspired. I know others will that hear this interview. And just please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I can't wait to share your podcast and this episode with my blog readers and my newsletter. I'm going to shoot it out to them too. And that's what I love, like the women coming together to collaborate and support one another, because there is literally an infinite amount of success. There is an abundance of success. And when you have that mindset, you're just going to get more. You're going to get more of that.
Absolutely. Well, Amy, we will share all of your contact information in our show notes. And everybody, please go and check out our website. That's www.keystocourage.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Lots of great information. Check out the course. And this was just such a thrill for me. As I said, Amy, Carol's spoken very highly of you, and I was very excited to meet you today. And it was such a pleasure spending time with you, and hopefully we'll get to do it again in the future.
Oh, thank you. It's my honor. And just, I really appreciate you having me on, and hopefully in inspiring one person out there to, you know, take the reins of their life and become that version of themselves. We all have it in us, and we just got to take the steps and push through to become that more of you.
Oh, perfect. Everybody, thanks for listening. As always, you can check us out on our website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.